I want to read to you from two passages in the Old Testament tonight. The first is from Deuteronomy chapter 12 and the second is from Leviticus in chapter 10. Our subject tonight is Sola Scriptura, Scripture alone, continuing with a series on biblical worship or biblical praise. Scripture alone is sufficient to guide us in all of these matters. And I want to read two passages, Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 29 to 32, and Leviticus 10, verses 1 to 3. God says to his people in Deuteronomy 12, 29, "When the Lord thy God shall cut off the nations from before thee, whither thou goest to possess them, and thou succeedest them and dwellest in their land, take heed to thyself, that thou be not snared by following them after they be destroyed from before thee, and that thou inquire not after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods?" And the word serve means worship. How did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. Thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God. In other words, their method you shall not use to worship the Lord your God. Thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God, for every abomination to the Lord which he hateth have they done unto their gods. For even their sons and their daughters they have burned in the fire to their gods. What things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it." So you see the principle taught. What is worship? Only what God commands you to do. It's not anything he hasn't forbidden. It's only what I have commanded you. Do it. You see a perfect example of this in the book of Leviticus in chapter 10, where you see two men who were bringing something into worship that was not forbidden. It was not forbidden, but it wasn't commanded. It wasn't commanded. There was no positive command for them to do this. Leviticus 10 and the first three verses. "And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, this is it, that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them. I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace." So you see two passages proving that people who say, "Oh, well, it's okay to bring this into worship because God hasn't forbidden it." Well, God hadn't forbidden the use of this fire either. These men still died for it. And the passage says, which he had not commanded. It's not enough that something is not forbidden. You only do what God commands. That is the principle that's taught. So, sola scriptura, scripture alone and what scripture commands, is what we do in the worship of God. Scripture, we've been looking at this, haven't we? Scripture, the forgotten, neglected, and despised foundation of Protestant Christianity. The doctrine of Scripture. Error on this doctrine will lead to error on all other doctrines. And error on this doctrine, what is the Bible, de-authorizes God's word from over your mind. It gets put on a lower level. And my thoughts come to the fore. And people say things like, I know the Bible says that, but. There's no such thing as but. If the Bible says it, that's it. There's no but. That's a person that their mind is now the authority and the Bible has been de-authorized. Because they're wrong in the doctrine of Scripture. What is the Bible? The Bible is God's inspired word. It is not man's word. It is God's word. And every word is God's inspired word. Plenary verbal inspiration, as we were looking at last week. The Scriptures witness to this, that the Bible is God's word. The Old Testament says so. The New Testament says so. And the Lord Jesus Christ says so, as I showed you last week. Every word of the Bible is the inspired word of God. Therefore, if the Bible is the word of God, and if all of the Bible is the word of God, then the Bible is sufficient. Isn't it? It is all that God has given us. It is all God wants us to know of faith and worship. Scripture is sufficient. It doesn't need added to. It doesn't need supplemented with human ideas. Scripture is sufficient if it's the word of God. It doesn't need supplemented by human tradition. It doesn't need added to by human tastes. It doesn't need a plus sign after it, plus human opinions. It doesn't need to be multiplied by human ideas. The Bible is sufficient to guide us in all areas of faith and practice because the Bible is the Word of God. God didn't leave any bits out that we need to know. In this book is all we need to know for faith and the worship of Jehovah. However, it was not long. It was not long in the Church of Jesus Christ. It was just a mere few hundred years after the apostles, after Pentecost, when the church started adding things to Scripture's commands. Started adding tradition. And I've told you 100 times, and I'll tell you again, you know it by now. They added tradition. The word tradition, you look it up in the dictionary, the word tradition means human ideas. A few hundred years and they started adding man-made ideas to worship. They added traditions that were not commanded by the Bible. And yet the church made these traditions a part of church worship. They had religious relics. They introduced them. 400-500 AD. Idols. These things were introduced to the worship of the church. They're traditions. Martyred Christians, their bodies, or bits of their bodies, were kept. And in church services, bits of their bodies were brought out as trophies to be worshipped. That's how sick it was. They started adding to Scripture's commands of worship. They started having holy places, holy sites, the worship of saints, the prayers to the saints. The church started supplementing and adding to what the Bible says about worship, adding to it the ideas of men, traditions. They introduced them as aids to worship. This will help the worship if we do this. And since then, a whole mountain, a mountain range of human ideas, human likes, human tastes, has built up and been added to the biblical instructions for the worship of God's people. And all these man-made ideas and supplements became of great authority in the Church of Christ. And if you didn't keep the traditions, these man-made ideas, well, it came to be, it's just the same as breaking and disobeying the Bible. And where the human additions to worship actually contradicted the Bible, the tradition was adhered to and the Bible was disobeyed. Now that's what happened. That's just a fact of history. Scripture was ignored. And then, this is a history lesson tonight. And then in the 1500s came, this whole thing came to a head in what we know as the Reformation. And that's my only point tonight, the Reformation, because the Reformation is all about the title of the sermon, Sola Scriptura. The main thrust of the Reformation is the sufficiency of Scripture. The main thrust of Reformation was and is to this very day, Sola Scriptura, Scripture alone. Not human ideas, not human tastes, not man-made nonsense. No, Scripture alone must govern the church in everything she does. Scripture alone, sola scriptura. Now, you know what caused this? You know what caused the Reformation? Well, let's look at the second cause. The first cause was God, but the second cause was a man called John Tetzel. In the year 1517, John Tetzel was a Dominican monk, and he was sent by the Pope to preach at different villages and cities in Germany. And, well, preaching, I suppose, is not really the proper word for it. He went there and he declared a message, and he was selling what's called indulgences. Indulgences were basically a ticket that you bought, and those who bought these tickets received a pardon for their sins. You get this ticket by paying your money and you're forgiven. Let me quote from the man's sermon himself. Here's what the preacher John Tetzel said when he went round Germany. The pardon makes those who buy it cleaner than baptism, purer even than Adam in the state of innocence. As soon as the money clinks into the bottom of the strongbox, the buyer is pardoned and free from sin. There you have it. It's not some sermon. That's what the Pope said. That's what John Tetzel preached. The money for the indulgences was meant to be going to the latest war that the Pope had started. But secretly, the money was being diverted to pay for the painting on the ceiling of St. Peter's. Total deceitfulness. Now, this idea of indulgences, forgiveness of sin for money, is of course not biblical. It's not in the Bible at all. In fact, it's the opposite of what the Bible teaches, isn't it? Forgiveness in the Bible comes through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Not by any works that we can do, and certainly not by money. Not by tickets. But indulgences, what were they? They were nothing but a man-made idea, a tradition that had grown up in the church of that day and had become so authoritative that even though the tradition contradicted the Bible was disobeyed and the tradition was adhered to. It was a human idea made up by the Pope. But by then, the church, the Roman church, which was basically the main so-called church of that day, had added so much to the Bible that it was scarcely recognisable as a church at all. Now, Martin Luther, the German reformer, who was an Augustinian monk, he was a professor in the university at Wittenberg, and he'd just been recently converted. And he was not impressed by salvation via tickets. And this man, Tetzel, is coming closer and closer preaching to Wittenberg, preaching this message. And Luther had already preached sermons against this whole message on the Sabbath days. It made no difference at all. Tetzel was coming closer and closer. So in the year 1517, I think it was the 30th or else the 31st, I can't remember. It's either one of those days. On the 30th of October 1517, Luther wrote 95 theses, that is 95 doctrinal points. He wrote them out, and these doctrinal points were doctrinal points refuting or against the traditions that the Roman church had made up. And he took these down to the church door and he nailed them to the door of the church in Wittenberg. That's how the debate started in those days over a doctrinal point. And in these theses, Luther declared, let me give you a wee quote. These sentences declared that if there was room for Tetzel and his pardon tickets in the church, then there was no room for Luther and his belief in what sin was and how God pardoned it. And then the debate exploded. And Luther, the more he looked into this issue and the whole debate about Bible and tradition, he came to believe in the sufficiency of Scripture. And he began to see more and more errors based upon human tradition. As human tradition as an authority higher than the Bible. And the Roman church went against Martin Luther and tried to silence him and would have put him to death. But the Reformation had begun. And sola scriptura was the heart cry of the Reformation. Scripture alone is the authority. Scripture alone decides what the church should do. Not scripture and human ideas. No, sola scriptura. Scripture alone. This is the word of God. It is sufficient. Scripture alone is to be the guide of the church in faith and practice. Not the Pope's decrees. Not church's traditions. Not human ideas. Not human tastes. Not human opinions. Nothing. Sola scriptura. The Bible alone. Now that is the heart cry of Reformation. To this very day, and if you've missed that, you've missed it all. The rest is irrelevant if you've missed that. Sola Scriptura is the foundation of the Reformation. It's the foundation of Protestant Christianity. Scripture is the rule of faith and practice. And that's why in Reformed churches, after those days of Reformation, whether they were congregational, Presbyterian or Baptist, whether even you look at Luther, he wasn't as extreme as some of the others. He actually kept some idols in the church. You know that, don't you? He kept idols in his church. He didn't reform completely. But Zwingli, to a greater extent than Calvin and all the others, in the days of Reformation, that's why they believed in sola scriptura, and that's why they threw everything out of the church that wasn't based on biblical command. They threw it all out. They got rid of it all. If the scripture does not command you to do it, Don't do it. Throw it out. That's what the reformers believed. Scripture is in charge of how the church is run. What is done in faith, what is done in life, what is done in worship, what is done in evangelism. How do we do these things? The Bible tells us all we need to know. It doesn't need any human ideas added. It doesn't need supplemented. It doesn't need helped. It doesn't need aids. God says, what things soever I command you, observe to do it, thou shalt not add thereto, nor take from it. And the whole context is worship of God's people. No human add-ons. All human add-ons have to go in a Reformed church. Show me from the Bible. Show me from the New Testament where the New Testament church does these things. That's the heart cry of Reformation. If you can't show me from the New Testament, it has to go. It has to go. Be governed by Scripture alone. Not human ideas. No add-ons. Sola Scriptura. So, because the church has had added her own ideas to Scripture, in this whole area of worship and in the area of salvation, she had made tradition and Scripture the two authorities that governed and ruled the church. And that's what caused the Reformation. It was an erroneous view of the doctrine of Scripture in the area of sufficiency that caused the Reformation. The Roman Catholic Church, Scripture is not sufficient. It needs to be supplemented with human tradition and the ideas of men. Reformation, no. We go back to the Bible, the true doctrine of Scripture and its application. Scripture is the Word of God, therefore Scripture alone is sufficient. No human add-ons, no human traditions needed. Thank you very much. That's the difference. However, since then, since the Reformation in 1517, very slowly, Reformed churches and so-called evangelical churches have been drifting from their foundation. Oh, it's all very well a history lesson, but it has application. Sola Scriptura, Scripture alone, why they started to drift from that whole principle. And now so-called Reformed and evangelical churches have added that many man-made ideas, not authorized by the Bible. They've supplemented Scripture with their altar calls and their choirs and their accompaniments and their music, everything else, music included. Kept adding, wee bit at a time, wee bit at a time, wee bit at a time. And what I want to ask is, where does the New Testament church, because that's what we are, the New Covenant church, where does the New Testament church do these things? Where does the Scripture command them? Add-ons have come in, human ideas, traditions. And you know, men and women, I'm very against tradition. I'm against Roman Catholic tradition. You know that, don't you? But there's stinking Protestant traditions that are every bit as evil. And have no warrant at all from the New Testament. None. Let me quote a reformer. A modern reformer. There are three damaging weaknesses in modern evangelicalism. The first is the failure to apply the principle sola scriptura, the conviction that the Bible is our supreme and sufficient guide, and that specifically we are to worship God only in the way appointed in his word. This perspective, once the common property of Reformed churches, is now so overlooked as to seem bizarre or fanatical to many, while others choose to exempt worship from its scope as if God had little or nothing to say of that which most intimately concerns his glory. He goes on and he says the main weaknesses in modern evangelicalism is a failure to apply sola scriptura, a historical blindness of what churches used to be like, and a frightening naivety of the damage that their little add-ons have done. The Reformed churches, the churches of the Reformation, to this very day, men and women, have drifted so far from sola scriptura, the foundation on which they were built, that a minister or a Christian who tries to say that all worship should be controlled by scripture is laughed at. That happened to me, I told you, didn't it? I preached to a group of ministers on the Bible regulating worship, and afterwards they thought it was funny. They were all evangelical, not one liberal. The churches have drifted so far from the idea of sola scriptura, so far from the idea that if the New Testament church didn't do it, if you can't show me from scriptural evidence as to why we should do it, then we shouldn't do it. If you say that, that type of person is now looked upon as bizarre and fanatical. That's how far we've drifted from the congregational principles on which we were founded. So far have we drifted from sola scriptura. Human taste has become the authority. But I like it. Yes? There's no command from the Bible, but you like it. Which is the higher authority? The Bible or your likes? But my opinion is, your mind, is that the authority? Or the Bible? Which? Sola scriptura. You see, in modern evangelicalism and Reformed churches, taste, likes, and personal opinions have become equal in authority, or actually higher in authority than what the Bible says. Because you can prove a thing from the Bible, you can explain, you can say, well, the Bible doesn't say that, or it doesn't come out. But I think, I like. We've always done it that way. You've always been wrong if you've done it that way. Very few churches nowadays ask, when they are going to introduce something new to Sunday worship, very few churches will say, now before we do this, where does the Bible command it? That's never mentioned, sure it's not. Never even enters their head. Very few churches say, now hang on, wait a wee minute, what does the Bible say? No. The things that are said are things like this. Yes, it might help. Well, you know, it sounds better. Because human opinions reign supreme. Human likes, human dislikes, human tastes govern the churches today. That's the authority. Human opinion. Human taste. The Bible isn't even considered. The Bible is You can take it or leave it. Doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter that God said, what things soever I command you to observe, observe it. And don't add to it. And don't take away. That's irrelevant. We can just add to it anything we like, can't we? The Bible is take it or leave it. But I'm saying to you, show me from the Bible where God wants this. Show me. That's what sola scriptura means. The Bible is sufficient for church life and worship. It doesn't need any of our add-ons. I draw to a conclusion. The message tonight has been very simple. It's a biblical principle that is taught throughout. And don't you worry, see those passages in the weeks ahead as we go through this, we'll be exegeting those passages, Aaron's sons, and not Deuteronomy 1, and many other passages we'll be looking at. But the message tonight has been simple. Sola Scriptura. Scripture alone. Now, I've told you what that means. I've told you why it's important and why it was at the heart of the Reformation. Scripture is the authority. Scripture rules alone. And next week I will show you, God willing, not only the Roman Catholic Church has traditions that are equal in authority to the Bible, but I'm going to show you next week that liberal Protestantism and charismatic churches and evangelical churches, they all have something that they put on equal authority to the Bible. They're all the same. But I close tonight. I'm always tempted to go on just a little bit more. But I want to close, and in closing, I want to say something on sola scriptura to anyone here tonight who is a sinner and you're not saved. The scripture is the sole authority on how you can have your sins forgiven. Now, how can you have your sins forgiven? Let me say this. It is not by money. No matter what the Pope says. Because the Pope has reintroduced indulgences the last few years. You know that, don't you? He's selling tickets again. How can you have your sins forgiven? Not by money. No matter what that evil man says. Not by a warm feeling. No matter what charismatics say. Not by a profession of Jesus Christ. No matter what evangelicals say. No. How can you have your sins forgiven? Not by baptism. No matter what the Church of Ireland says. Not by being born in a Christian country, no matter what the stupid say. You can't have your sins forgiven in any of those ways. How can you have your sins forgiven? Sola Scriptura, Scripture alone is the authority. By repenting of your sin. Turning from, God, I'm sorry, I'm turning away from my sin. And trusting in Jesus as my Lamb, my sin bearer. That's how. And I don't care what any church has previously said to you. I don't care what any minister has previously said to you. I couldn't care less. I don't care what any evangelist has previously said to you. They can say to you, you need your penance, you need to go your indulgences, you need to repeat these words after me, you need to raise your hand or sign in the dotted line, because I don't care about that. It's all a lot of nonsense to me. It is rubbish. None of it's in the Bible. None of it. The Bible says, if you want your sins forgiven, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Sola Scriptura. The Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Sola Scriptura. Scripture alone. No human add-ons. No supplements. You don't have to do this, that, or the other. You don't have to come to the front. I don't want you to do that. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to pay for tickets. Sola Scriptura. The Bible is the only and final authority in matters of church life, worship, and salvation. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. So simple, isn't it? Amen. Thank you.